All right, if you guys got your Bibles, please open them up. Go to Galatians chapter 5, if you can, please. Galatians chapter 5. Today's going to be really simple. We're slowly going through this passage. I was telling JP for the Spanish church ministry that we need to kind of consider going through slowly. Spending time with the Lord yesterday here, wanting to go through something in particular, and then the Lord was just really grilling my heart. So he kind of changed up the message, keeping it more simple. But we'll go through this today, and I want to encourage you now and prep you now that maybe someone's here and you want prayer. We need to be the body of Christ, to be able to love one another, to pray for each other, to encourage each other. Amen? We need to do that. That's why God brought you in here. So maybe you just thought, I'm going to come in this Sunday. Well, the Holy Spirit brought you in. Want to love you, maybe pray for you. Maybe others want to pray for each other. We're going to look at this, though. Galatians chapter 5. Please stand with me if you're able to. We're going to pick up at verse 22. I'm going to put on the display again. Today is going to be what I'm calling part 3 of How to Walk as a Christian. Just going through our overall series, going through the entire Bible, going through the book of Galatians with this mini-series as we come to chapter 5. Want to walk slowly through this. So we're not calling this how to run as a Christian. Or how to fight. How to walk. Part 3. We're going to pick up at verse 22. I'll show it on the display, but know where it is in your Bible. Galatians 5, verse 22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering," some Bible say patience, "kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Please pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you, God, that we're not told to run in the Spirit. We're not told to sprint in the Spirit. Surely throughout the years, maybe you had an individual or two have to fight, have to run, like David in the Old Testament. But you tell us here, you command us to walk in the Spirit. Teach us your word of truth here, Lord. We've gone through the first four chapters. We learned great teachings, great doctrines. Chapter 5, we need the application now. But Lord, we can't just take this as factual data. It's not a history class. You want to command us to do this, but you're going to also equip us. So Father in heaven, we ask, can you please empower us by your Spirit that we can obey your commands here? Teach us. Help us, God, as we experientially learn your word of truth. We do ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You guys can have a seat if you would. Now, I'm sure you guys have seen this in the movies. I'm sure you've maybe watched it in a Jesus film or two. Before Jesus goes to a cross, we learn in what we call John chapter 13, he's there with his disciples, main disciples. How many were there? 12. 12 main disciples. Before he's going to go to a cross, he gives them an object lesson, one of the last main teachings that Jesus did with his disciples. He's taken off his clothes, not all his clothes, okay? But he's now taken on the imagery of the household slave, the household servant, the one that in the wealthy household, you would have perhaps a servant to be there at the door to greet you, remove your sandals, wash your feet. And keep in mind, ladies, these guys, these fellas didn't have the mani-pedis. I imagine knurled toes, crusty toes, walking through the dusty roads, fishermen, right? Maybe they have fish scales under their fingers and toenails. Are all nasty and knurled. 12 of them. Peter, James, John, all these fellas, rough and tough guys, some of them. Matthew Levi, maybe he had, you know, manicured nails and toes. I don't know. So Jesus takes a towel, girds himself with his towel, I'm paraphrasing the story. You can read it in John chapter 13. He now becomes the object lesson. He's trying to teach them something, teachable truth. He's putting on this towel, if you will, robe, and he's washing and wiping their feet with literally what would become his clothes. So fellas, ladies, how many of you would wash dirty, stinky teeth or toes with your clothes? You probably wouldn't, right? Some of you grimacing, ooh. That's what our Lord and Savior Jesus did. And this is the object lesson. He's not just saying, go read my book, learn about love. He's showing them love. It's an object lesson. He became the object lesson. And then shortly after that, he gives them the ultimate object lesson of love and grace and mercy by going and doing what? Dying on a cross for their sins as well as yours and mine. Sins of the world. So Jesus, in John chapter 13, washed, I like looking at it this way, it's just reality. Dirty, stinky feet. That's what it would have been, right? Think about that. It's 12 guys. Even today, most guys in America are not going to get the mani-pedis. Some do. You got the money, the time. Most fellows don't. How many fishermen do you know that do? Okay. Probably not very many in the world. And that's what Jesus did. He taught them not just about love. He showed them a picture of himself being the embodiment of love. He became that object lesson, washing feet. And then he says in that chapter, this is John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give you that you, what? What is it? Come on, you guys are saying it so lightly.
I love one another. I didn't come in here to learn. I got to love someone. I want to receive the love.
Love one another. Not hate one another. New Yorkers, we could be rough, right? I learned that coming out from Southern California. Tell my friends back in California, man, New Yorkers, they're tough. All I do is say hi. You can't walk up to a stranger and say hi, right? As a guy, a fella. Like, people scoot away from you, right? You walk up to the window in the car, roll up the window, roll up the window. So New Yorkers are tough. We're tough. So Jesus was teaching them to love one another. Not just saying, read my book, and not just feeding the head, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So he became that picture of love. He's showing them to love, how to love one another. And as you and I are going through this passage after coming off the first four chapters, which are their doctrine, we're learning. And then now we're applying in chapters 5 and 6. That's the design of the book. Many of the books of the Bible are that way. You teach the doctrine, the truth, and then you apply the truth. That's what chapter 5 is. So as we come now to chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, know that these are decisions. Love. Now, when we come to the retail world here in America, in February, people picture love. What color do you picture love as? And what shape do you picture love as in February? A heart. Why is that? Because of marketing. I study marketing. It's because of marketing. Okay, just like diamonds. Diamonds are a... How do you know that? Because of marketing, right? And music. It's marketing. I think it's De Beers that popularized that. The guys have to, if you're going to get engaged, you have to save up a certain amount. Where is that in the world, in the Bible? Well, a diamond company became very wealthy because they did this. It's marketing. So we've been marketed to. So we look at love, and love becomes a noun, a person, place, or thing. It becomes a thing, an object, right? It's just a picture. It's red, it's a heart, that's love. But when Jesus became the object lesson, he's showing them love. Now love is not just a noun, it becomes a verb, action verb. You need to love. So that's what he's getting at in John 13. We'll get that to that, God willing, in a little bit. To love one another. It's easy to look at love as just a noun. it's tough to look at it as a verb. For us first to receive from him, for us to reciprocate back to him. He's going to love you so that you can what? Love him back. We love him, 1 John 4 says, because he loved us first. So he's the initiator, giving you the agape love from the Father in heaven through Jesus Christ. He loves you, and he's going to equip you with his agape love so that you could even love him back with the love that he gives you. That to me, if you could figure that out, you're pretty brilliant. Not only that, you're not going to figure it out. Why? Those are the ways and the grace, the character of God. He's the source and the resource. So you go to him because he's the source of love. He alone, through Jesus Christ. And he's the resource. You got to be resourced by him from heaven above because you and I are spiritually bankrupt. So he's going to love you, win you over with his love. Second, you reciprocate. You respond. True giving is a response to God. You respond to his love as shown through Christ Jesus, his mercy, his grace, his love. And then after responding, reciprocating his love back, and then you can reflect his love out to others. This is why you find that it's hard to love people, isn't it? Who here finds it's hard to love people? All the people telling the truth have their arms. Okay. It's hard to. And if I could say so doctrinally, theologically, spiritually, it's impossible to obey the commands of Jesus in John 13, verse 34. New commandment I give you. If you've heard of Maundy Thursday, you guys have heard of Maundy Thursday, right? Not Monday Thursday, but Maundy, M-A-U-N-D-Y. It's for the Latin mandatum. Commandment is what that means. Maundy Thursday in that Passion Week, that's supposedly traditionally the day where Jesus gave that command. He washed those dirty, stinky feet. He became the object lesson. Love became not just this thing on a Hallmark card, not a noun, but an action verb, to love. Now you need to love one another. And he showed them how. They received, and then they're to, later on, love. So this is the way of God. He's going to love you. But question for you, Christian, I want to just cast the net because you never know what you're going to catch. If we pray that God would bring people in that need to learn to receive his love. Maybe there's someone here that your healing is you need to learn to receive his love. You're trying to obey the commands. That's step 3, loving other people. You're commanded to love one another. Where does it say that? John 13, verse 34. The main command of Christ in the new covenant, after he washed dirty, stinky feet, you guys aren't going to understand. Later on, they're like, I still don't understand. Boom, he empowers them with the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost. And they're like, I kind of get it, but love's not this noun, like a red heart on a Hallmark card. It's an action verb, and I need to love just like I was loved. So he first loves you. You love him back, and now you take his love. It's an overflow. The love that he gives you is now going to overflow to the people. That's the way that he designs it. So doctrinally, theologically, spiritually, it's impossible for you to obey the command of Christ if you're doing it in your strength. This is why you get bummed out, burnt out, and want to drop out when you love someone and they reject you. Who hears you love someone, they reject you, and it hurts, right? That's a pretty good indication that you gave them your love. You know how our love is. It comes with conditions, doesn't it? I'll love you if you receive this. You're fine. I'm going to take my Bible, go play somewhere else. We can get like that. That's how you know you gave your love out. But when you're giving out God's love is through Jesus Christ, you could be like Stephen in the book of Acts, the first martyr for the Christian faith. Lord, don't hold this sin against them. And what were they doing? You know, they weren't just unfriending him on Facebook or Instagram. Fine, you Christian girl, Christian boy. I don't have to take this abuse. That's not persecution, by the way. So Stephen, they stoned him to death. And as he was doing that, his face shone like an angel. Love that, purity. Lord, don't hold this sin against them. That's the example. So some of us might look at Christ on the cross and go, okay, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Well, that's Jesus. You ever say that to God? Well, that's Jesus. Well, he left heaven, put on a body of flesh, so he understands. He knows the pain, the torture, what it feels like to be rejected. He knows what it's like when Peter and the gang are like, yeah, I'll take one for you. I'll take the bullet. And he's there dying on the cross for their sins. If it were you or me, you'd be like, Peter, where are you, Peter? Come here. Take this from me, Peter. We'll swap. Come on, buddy. And the other disciples. So Jesus taught us, and he became the object lesson of to love, how to love. And keep in mind, how many were there when he washed these dirty, stinky feet in John 13? Right before going to a cross. How many were there? There's Jesus and... who was there? 12 disciples? Wait, 12 disciples? The 11 plus Paul? He washed Judas Iscariot's feet. Now, how many of you would wash Judas Iscariot's feet nicely? Nicely. Let me look at your face here. Nicely. So you guys are chuckling. Because you'd be like me, right? You wash the feet. Like, you know what he's going to do? You take the little... you get some rough sandpaper. Like, what grit sandpaper would that be, Tom? Like, real... It'd be rough sandpaper, right? I got an open wound there, Tom. That's okay. I'm loving you, right? Let me use nice salt water to put it in after that, right? That's not the picture of love, though. And that's your example. This is your example of what Christ Jesus did with you, isn't it? While we're still in our sins, Christ died for us on the cross, didn't he? He didn't wait until you're like, oh, I'm going to wait till you're a good boy. I'll wait till you're a good girl. And then when you change, that's legalism. That's not the agape love of God. He first is initiator, because when he wins you over with his love, you're going to do what? If you're like me, you're going to take years receiving his love. Okay, I stop running. Forgive me, Lord. And then now you start reciprocating his love back. So true giving is a response to God. You don't initiate, you're responding. It comes from him. From heaven above, from the Father, through Christ Jesus, you receive his love. And then now I want to give myself back to him. It's a response to God. First, he wants to love you. He's got to win you over. That's the way he does when he saves you. And then now you're resourced with his agape love. And when you're loving one another, whether it's in a marriage or family or in God's family, he pours out upon you, into you, through you, so you can love him back. I mean, how crazy is that? That he can give you his agape love and as a resource, because you and I are spiritually bankrupt, he's going to resource you with his love so that you could even love him back. And we're commanded to love him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. But guess what? In the Old Testament, where it was commanded, it was impossible. Isn't that crazy to think of? Until Christ Jesus came and provided the way. And so as he equips you through Christ Jesus, you receive his love, and now I can obey his commandments. And John has the audacity, John the Apostle, to say and to write, his commandments are not hard. Like, what? One of the things you quoted Jesus is saying is to love one another. That's the main command we say in the New Covenant. John 13, verse 34. Commandment Thursday, Monday Thursday, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. When you wash those dirty, stinky feet, even the feet of Judas Iscariot. Now, Judas Iscariot, why is his name Judas Iscariot? What does Iscariot mean? Is that his last name? Like Smith? What's that? Man of Kerioth, K-E-R-I-O-T-H. That was an area, if you look at a Bible map, relevant to Jerusalem. You got Jerusalem on the bottom, the Dead Sea, Sea of Galilee above, the Jordan River that goes north-south. Kerioth, it would have been, let's say, northeast of Jerusalem. Man of Kerioth. Everybody else is pretty much Galilee up north. Country folks. So the one that would have had a good education, maybe wealthy, not just Matthew Levi, perhaps Judas Iscariot. No wonder he's the dude that fell to money. Man of Kerioth. Judas, which Judas? The man of Kerioth. He's from that region. That's his name. Iscariot, like Lee or whatever, Smith. That's not his last name. It's indicating where he's from, just like Yeshua of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth. Judas, man of Kerioth. So he would have had access to the big city. Jesus still washed his feet. Maybe his feet didn't need washing, like Peter. I imagine, you know, open-toed sandals, fishermen. I do a lot of fishing, or I'd like to if I have time. Who here has done fishing, like in the ocean? Okay, it gets messy, right? Oh, you got fish guts. You take someone, you've been fishing, right? You take someone fishing. Sorry, ladies. Sometimes girls don't want to. Who wants to hook the worm? Yeah, see? Yeah, see, the fellas do the fish. Oh, come on, you just grab it. He's like, ew, I'm going to squish him to death. You got to hold that puppy, then, ew. And then once you pierce it, it really starts wriggling, right? And some people, they gross out. It's just an earthworm. And some guys, some fishermen, they really want to gross you out. They're clean, look. It's just protein. I don't do that. My point is, though, okay, guys that are used to fishing, you're used to being messy. It gets bloody, fish guts. You're like, that's okay. I don't need a shower. Give me a new T-shirt. That's just kind of how it can be. So these are fishermen, and he's washing their feet, teaching them. He became the object lesson. Not just saying, go read my book, like it's some factual, intellectual data. He's teaching them to love. He became that object lesson. The lesson for the day was seeing him and they experientially being a recipient of the love. And then just moments later, he goes and dies on the cross. The ultimate picture of love and sacrifice. So you and I were to walk in the Spirit. Notice this in verse 22. We're told the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Now, some would say you have love, and you could almost put a colon there after love, and you've got eight things that come out. Could be. Fruit of the Spirit's love. Agape love. The agape love as shown through Jesus Christ. And I was wanting, just so you know, to go through this and do all the doctrinal data, look it up, and see all these things. Here's what it says in the Greek. That's great. And we want to learn. What we're learning in this church is learning to worship him more in spirit and truth, not just truth. Okay, we have the word of truth. In Calvary Chapel, we teach book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I'm going through the original Greek words even to see the little pithy nuances of the language, as it may not translate over well into English, and try to bring you some of that. But here's a challenge. The Bible also says knowledge puffs up. You ever see those bobbleheads? They're kind of little body and a big head. I don't want us to get like that, where it's like, look, we're full of knowledge. God says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Okay, builds up. Worship him in spirit and truth. God wants our hearts. So this passage, though, as we go through chapter 5, it's written as if to say in verses 19 to 21 that we covered last week. You can look at it if you want. As if to say, don't walk in those things, the ways of the flesh. And here in chapter 5, 22 and on, it's as if the Holy Spirit's saying, do walk in these things. And remember, it's a walk. That's why we're thinking, we got to go through this a little slowly. Remember when Jesus is washing their feet? And what did Peter say? He wanted to wash Peter's feet. He's like, oh, no, Lord. Wash the whole thing. Okay? It's hard for us to receive God's love, isn't it? We're even trying to rebuke Jesus. Earlier on, Peter's like, Jesus saying, I'm going to go to a cross. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to raise myself from the dead. It's around the time when Peter's like, you're the Messiah. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed to you, but the Father in heaven. He's like, yeah, get some fellas. And then Jesus is saying he's going to go to a cross. And then what does Peter do? Hey, not so, Lord. He's trying to rebuke Jesus. Imagine if Jesus said, you know, Peter, that's a good idea.
nails going through this, it's not going to feel too good. That crossbeam shoved on my head, spear piercing the side. You know, these things, you're right. It's not going to feel too good. I don't want to do that for you, Peter. Peter probably be, yeah, I'm smart. No one else got that. You're the Messiah. I got that. But good thing that Jesus didn't listen to Peter, amen? So what did Jesus say to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. Okay? So sometimes you and I, we could be even rebuking Jesus, going away from the will of God. Peter, by the way, he becomes a really good example in the New Testament, in the Gospels, as well as Acts chapter 1, of how not to walk. Almost everything he said and did is a picture of the flesh. Selfish, pushy. Jesus says, he's given a prophecy, I'm going to go and die on a cross. No, you're not going to do that. And Jesus had to rebuke him. He had to stop him. He's trying to stop Jesus. Verses 22 and 23, as we come across this, though, the fruit of the Spirit being love, think of fruit. Think of fruit. Think of fruit. Think of what your favorite fruit is. Do you think it took a long time for that fruit to grow? To go from a seed to mature fruit-bearing tree or shrub? For then that grower to pick it, to get it to you. You go to the bodega or the market and you get it. It took a long time, right? From a seed, we learned this. I actually looked it up. From a seed to mature fruit-bearing apple tree could be 6 years or 7 years, even with today's technology. It still takes 7 years. Think about that. Fruit is what he says. Fruit. It doesn't come overnight. This is the culture in the country. We want everything in the microwave. We want drive-through. Everything's got to be now, right? We raise our kids. What's that special word? You want them to say, please. What's that special word? Now. I want it now. Right? Fruit of the Spirit. Patience. It doesn't come overnight. But this is written as if to say, do walk in these things. The fruit of the Spirit, though, it takes a long time. So I think that I would be, and we, even for the Spanish church I met earlier this morning, it might be wrong for us just to run through, because he says walk, right? Walk in the Spirit. And by the way, here's one of the indications of the Spirit. I picture like toothpaste being squeezed out of a tube. Fruit of the Spirit, fruitfulness of what God's done inside, you will externally see love. You'll see love. You'll see joy. The joy of the Lord's your strength, Nehemiah chapter 8. You'll have peace. Philippians 4, the peace of God that passes all understanding that will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. These things don't come overnight. Have you ever prayed for patience? Maybe you're driving around New York City. You're looking for a parking spot. Lord, I said in Jesus' name, give me a parking spot. I told my friends in Southern California, the only time I had a pray for parking. The notion didn't even come up in California. I come to New York City, you got to pray for parking. God, give us patience. So it's fruit. Allow God to do that work in you. Receive his love, and it takes a while. It doesn't come overnight. And don't beat yourself up. I know I'm talking to individuals here throughout the years. I realize there's some people that maybe you're not receiving his love. Maybe you're running away from him like I was. And it takes time. It takes time for you to receive his love. Okay. So as we go through this and go through application of this, I just don't want us to run through it. We need to walk. He says walk in the Spirit. And I know that some of the people here were healing from things like legalism, right? Where we didn't learn to receive the Heavenly Father's agape love as shown through Jesus Christ. We want to be like Peter and stop Jesus. This is uncomfortable. I don't want to receive your love. I'm not used to this.
And yet you beat yourself up because of legalism, thinking, why can't I love one another? Why can't I love you back? Why can't I listen? Why can't I obey your word? It's because if I don't know that he loves me, if I'm not convinced that God loves me, I'm not going to obey what he says. I don't trust him. Love and trust are intertwined. So if you find yourself in that place where, okay, you command it, but it's hard for me to do this. I can't do this. And John says he's got the audacity to say his commandments, they're not hard to do. But it's a conditional. If you learn to tap into God's love, that maybe there's someone here, you have to learn to receive his love so that you could love him back and that you could use his love to love one another. That's where it's not hard to do, because he's loving others through you. But he first has to win you over. And maybe you're here and you need prayer for that. We want to leave time for that today. We're going to do communion. We'll get into that. But today, we want to focus on God's love, his love. And we're zooming in on this passage, the fruit of the Spirit, love. Now, we can memorize this. I highly encourage you to do that. My wife, Susan, she helped us. Told me, can you make this tree? She made this neat little tree. It's got, you know, each individual different color fruits named like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Neat stuff. Great memory verse or verses with these two. But has the Lord won you over with his love? Are you convinced that God loves you? Are you able to receive his love? We need to receive his love. Amen? So think about this too, logistically, just the practicality of it. Jesus Christ wants to love you. Are you going to allow him to love you? It's still Jesus Christ. Are you going to allow Jesus Christ to love you through the body of Christ? So we get it here. I need to receive his love. But it may be hard for us to get here. But through other people? Yeah, that's how he's going to love you, right? Fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, or a Bible translation might say patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, this comes off the passage we studied through in four chapters about trying to obey the law, God's word. And the Galatians, they're trying to be obedient to Torah, to the law, in doing one law. What was that? Circumcision, right? So if you and I are allowing the Holy Spirit to bear fruitfulness, to produce, think of that word produce, we go to the produce stand, we go to the produce section of the market, allow him to produce fruit through your life, upon, into, and through your heart. You allow him to produce love. This is what he wants to do. And so as we focus on these things, not the things of the flesh that were just covered in the previous verses, and we're not trying to obey Torah to be a good boy or a good girl, you can't do that today. Because I'm going to fail at one law, and then now I'm guilty of what? All of them. And how many are there? 613. So Maimonides quantified it for the Jews. 613 laws. Imagine that. Crazy, right? You and I can't obey 10 commandments in Exodus 20. Anybody here ever lied? Okay, raise your hand. If you've ever lied, look around the room. The real liars didn't do what? They didn't raise their hands, right? By the way, how do we know we could trust you? You just admitted that you're a liar. Okay, so that's just one of the Ten Commandments. So the fruit of the Spirit's love. This is the passage here. We're going to close. I want to pray for you in just a bit before we partake of communion too. This is the passage, John 13, 31 and on. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. And now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you, what? Love one another. It's a command. John 13, verse 34. This is the Maundy Thursday. Mandatum, meaning commandment. The main command of Christ in the new covenant, once you're saved, you belong to him. this is now what he commands you to do. How do I know it's a commandment? You just read it. And you're accountable for that which you know. You didn't just hear it from me. You read it in his word. And now the Holy Spirit, who wrote the word of truth, will greatly convict you and I. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's his job upon your heart. That you also love one another. By this, what's the this? Love. By the fact of, it's conditional, whether and if you and I love one another or not, by that sheer fact, by this, all will know that you are my disciples. So we want to follow Jesus. Amen? The world's going to look at the fact of, are you able to love? That's it. But understand, if I break it down doctrinally, spiritually, scripturally, that's step three. Step one, 1 John chapter 4 tells us we love him because why? He loves us first. So the first, he's the initiator. He's going to initiate love as shown through Christ Jesus, who he is and what he did for you on the cross. In this is love, he tells us in 1 John 4. In this is love. So this is love, not that we loved him, but he loved us. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation for our sins. You can read the whole chapter. You can read the whole book, really, 1 John, later on. He's a propitiation, the atoning sacrifice, not for us only, but for the whole world, is what John writes. God so loved the world. So the epitome, the picture of this agape love, is not what you could do for God, not how you could love people, but how God the Father loved you in sending Christ Jesus, his son, his only begotten son. And he swapped him for you. That doesn't make sense. I was a sinner. While I was still in my sins, Christ Jesus died for me. But for that brief moment on the cross, the Father had to turn his back, some might say. Because he took on the sin of the world for you. I can cry thinking about that. For me, too. He took on the sin. He became sin. He who knew no sin became sin. He even wore a crown of what? Thorns. Remember, thorns came about as a result of the curse in Genesis 3. Thorns came about as if wearing a picture, like I'm wearing the curse. I'm cursed for you, for me. So that's the picture of love. And you and I need to love one another, but that's step three. I need to receive his love, and then I need to love him back. When he first wins me over with his love, we love him because he loved us first. Step two is to love God back. Step three is John 4:13, loving one another. So this is why we tend to beat ourselves up. Maybe you just need to hear that and to know that's kind of the step-by-step breakdown. That's impossible for me to love others, whether it's my wife or kids or God's kids or the world or we do outreaches. Why can't I love others? It might be that step one, I need to receive your love, God. I need to stop fighting against your love. I need to stop telling you what to do like Peter tried with Jesus. I need to receive your love so that now I can love you back. Because if this is your main command of me and what you expect of me, and it's throughout the New Testament, I think I'm erring on step one, that I need to receive your love. That might be you. That's where I was. And I need to learn to love you back, to worship you. Not because I'm coming to you because you're going to be Daddy Warbucks because I need money, or you know, Santa Claus, I need the stuff. You just come to him for him. Worship him for who he is. He's the one that's worthy to be worshipped, amen? And then loving others, that's going to be how the world will know that you're a follower of Jesus. Not because of what you do, for him. Like, look at all the stuff I'm doing for him, but do you have love? Okay, that's a question I have to ask myself. He's just really grilling my heart, especially this past weekend. So by this, all will know that you are my disciples. Notice the conditional, if, he says, if you have love for one another. So I know that some of us here, we're trying to heal from legalism. So you might sit there and beat yourself up. It's like, oh, I can't do this. I'm trying this Christianity thing. Well, give up. Not give up on God, give up doing it yourself. First, receive his love. Maybe you need to be prayed for. that you receive his love. And still Jesus Christ doing the work, that he could do it through the body of Christ, though. Amen? So can we set up for a time where we can close with some more worship? We're just going to leave it there. I want us to, out of respect for time, we want to be able to partake of communion. But before that, I'd love for us to be able to pray for anybody here. That maybe you need to receive his love. Stop fighting against him. That was me. Stop running. If that was you, that was definitely me. I was going to churches, serving him if I wanted, when I wanted, when I felt like it. But guess who I was serving? Myself. And I had to stop running. Now, my past, I was a DJ, and I remember Friday nights meant big things to DJs. That was like the party night. And I was hanging out in San Juan Capistrano, that area there, Orange County. And one night all my buddies were, I lived in this place, this huge place. We call it the castle. It was a duplex, three stories. It looks like the owner built it for parties. Three stories, and they were connected. This huge outdoor deck that connected both sides of the building. It totally looked like it was made for parties, like outdoor radio, what do you call that? Central radio, I think. You could turn on here in every room throughout the house. So we turn on K-Wave, listen to Christian radio throughout. And this one night, being in, on one side, I was living there with three other Christian brothers. They all went out. Hey, you want to go out? It was a Friday night, I remember. And I'm like, no, I think God's wanted me to spend time with them. Okay. So they left, had the place all by myself. I went up to the third floor, big, big open room. We used to have like Bible study and fellowship. And it was a warm night. I remember just spending time worshiping the Lord, kneeling down before him. And it was really healing. I had to spend time with God and hash some things out. Some of you guys are smart. Some of you guys are fast. I could be a little slow. I just had to hash it out with God and talk with him like, I didn't realize I was running. I remember asking him some things to the effect of, you mean if I run from you, if I go away, because I'm wanting to serve him. I knew he was calling me into something. If I run, you're still going to love me no matter what? You'll still take me back? If I serve you, if I totally dedicate my whole life to you? And I was at that point, at the crossroads. I already left a really comfy job. I had a house. He told me to sell it. I sold it. And then he's telling me to give it away. I had to give away the rest. I'm like, great. Now I don't have a house with a mortgage. Now I got to rent a place. And I'm living with three guys. Some of these snore. You know? Didn't have that place all by myself. Comfort. I had a car, too. Nice Camry. Nicer than what we got even now. Went through a couple Camrys here. Almost paid off. Comfy job, making a lot in the computer industry, making a lot of money. Not enough time to spend it even, so it's accumulating. He had me leave that job, had me sell the house, give it away. I'm not saying this so that you guys do that. That was just my individual walk. I was tied into too many things, not knowing that 9/11 was eventually going to happen some years later. And I knew he was calling me to something. He's wanted me to simplify my life. And that night, that warm night in Orange County, California, by the beach, I think you and your dad are familiar with that area. Spending time alone, Friday night. So this really meant something to me because I remember what God saved me out years before when I was a DJ doing nightclubs and promoting that filth. Friday nights were the big night. So Friday night, didn't want to go out and hang out. They went out, and I spent time with the Lord. And he was really wanting to reveal something to me, I sensed. And I had to hash it out with him. No matter what I do, you're still going to love me. I just couldn't get it through my thick head. Because growing up without a dad and not realizing, like, my earthly dad didn't love me, how is it that you, being a dad in heaven, how are you going to love me? Our Father in heaven, I get that, I see that, I can say that, I can pray that, but I don't get it here. You're still going to love me no matter what. That's right. No matter what I do. And I had to go through, it's like a series almost of having a dialogue with Dad in heaven. And I came to that place, the conclusion of, why am I running? I actually said that to him. Why am I running? And I, forgive me if I cry, because I remember just tears streaming down. If you're already born again, you go through an experience like that, it feels like you get born again again. I didn't get saved, and then, okay, now it's really saved. It was something where I had to surrender to him, and I was running away from him. And maybe that's where someone here is at. I'm not sure. But I had a hard time receiving his love. I had a lot of dad issues. These things still come up time to time. Even now, being a dad and being married, I had some dad issues I had to work through. And I was running. And if that's you, can I perhaps be one of the voices used by God to speak to you, to let you know? Stop running. Receive his love. Allow him to love you through Christ Jesus. Allow him to win you over with his grace, his mercy, his love, as shown to you through Christ Jesus on the cross. That no matter what you've done, he already knows. He knows what he got when he got you. You don't have like some secret stuff in the past or secret things that you're going to do that he doesn't know about. He knows what he got. He got you. He got the whole package. He still wants you. But it's up to you to surrender to him. My heart, my hope is that you would surrender to him. That you receive his love. That you would love him back. And then you'll be able to do this. To love one another. To have the fruit of the Spirit. His agape love. Fruit. Being produced. You're the tree. And it might take a long time for you and me to produce this type of fruit of love. And we can't run through it. I remember in Galatians 5 it says, walk in the Spirit. So if that's someone here, I'm going to ask, can you simply stop running? That we can love you. That God can love you through us. We want to pray for you. We'll partake of communion in a little bit. I think this is important. So let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. And if anybody wants prayer for this, we'll go through this as time goes on. Keep coming back if you can on Sundays. We'll go through this. And just like we do in this church, every chapter, every verse. But this one word I can't get past. Because I think the Holy Spirit's wanting you to receive his love. And not just commanding, like, go out and love people. You can't do it. Because you need to first receive his love. And then through your heart, you'll be able to love one another. He's got to first have you. Can we all stand, please? I'm going to close this with a word of prayer. We can continue worshiping. But if you want to be prayed for, if that's where you're at, let us love you by praying for you. I'm going to ask for you to come forward if we could pray for you. I'm going to close this with a word of prayer. And then we'll partake of communion. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your holy word. Thank you, God, for teaching us these things, that you do command us to love one another. It's a new commandment, not like the old. The old ways, it was a conditional love. But we thank you that you show us your agape love. You say, in this is love, not that we loved you. It has nothing to do with us or our love, because we can't love you. But that you loved us. You gave your Son, your only begotten Son, as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And because of Christ Jesus, we are now adopted into your family. So we confess to you that we're simply sinners. We're saved by your grace, not the works that we can do. And it's through having faith in you, in your scriptures, and what you say. And now as you save us, Lord, we need to surrender to you. Fully and keep surrendering to you daily. So we bring our hearts before you right now, Father. You're searching our hearts. I know there's some here that they need to be prayed for. They need to stop running. So do a healing, a cleansing, a purging, whatever it is, God, that needs to be done. You're the only one that could do that holy heart surgery. Please do that here with your people, God. Heal your children. Help them. Help us to be the body of Christ here, that we would love one another. So fill us with your Spirit to overflowing. Help us to stop running from you. Lord, if there's a prodigal son, prodigal daughter here, someone that's maybe they keep coming in, maybe they're going to churches and they need to come back to you. You tell us in that story of the prodigal son, when he came to his senses, and he turned back home. Lord, I believe by faith that there's probably someone here that coming to their senses, they're realizing they're running from you. And they're wasting maybe their time, their energies, everything in the world. Welcome them back into your family, Lord, into your arms. Thank you for salvation through Jesus. Help us now to surrender to you, that you could pour out your grace, your mercy, your love. Empower each of us by your Spirit. We do pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.